Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can join the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. So call now, 800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to turn to some practical application of our identity in Christ for the remaining part of the month. And this is where I think the Christian life really gets exciting, and we get this opportunity to really live out who we are. And that's what God has called us to. He didn't just give us a label and say, you know, go around and tell everybody you're a child of God. He changed us from the inside out, and we're really new creatures in Christ. And we have this new identity, and he wants us to live that out.
Absolutely.
Well, how do we do that? Well, in Galatians, Paul gives us a clue. He in Galatians chapter 3, he says this, "So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." That's that crossover from death to life, when we're justified, our sins are totally forgiven, when we've been declared righteous in God's sight, and we have this new identity. The law was put in charge to lead us to that point. But then it goes on and says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So as children of God, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. We have a different way to live. And that's good news, guys, isn't it?
Yeah, you think about this law-based living, it really crumbles religious dreams. It shuts us all up. I mean, the Bible even says that everybody is shut up under sin, and it reveals that we're prisoners. You think of the movie Shawshank Redemption, you know, you're trapped, and in fact, people get used to that bondage. And one guy, he actually gets out of prison, and he ends up doing whatever he can to go back. People get used to a jail cell. They get used to bondage. And you can see why it's such a hot topic today, Bob. People are still lining up at the buffet line of law and say, well, maybe we're free from the ceremonial law, but we still need tithing and the Sabbath. And they throw those on our plates at the buffet line, and that weighs us down big time. And Jesus is saying, man, you just need me. I mean, let's get free from all of the law and live under grace, and it does lead to godly living.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about it today on Basic Gospel. Call us now and join in on the conversation.
Yeah, open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. We'd love to hear from you and allow you to pose your question or your particular issue. We'd like to talk about it with you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Carson, California, and talk with Antoine, listening to us on oneplace.com. Welcome, Antoine. Nice to hear from you today.
Hey, nice to hear from you guys, too. I enjoy the app. I wanted to just call and commend you guys on a nice move, because I used to listen on the old AM radio, and, you know, I used to have to worry about a signal and all the other things that go along with the radio. But now I could just listen right on my phone, and it's all nice and up to date, and you guys doing a great job. I've been listening to back in Bob George days, and you guys, I'm glad you guys got the message still going, and I appreciate that, because you know, it's good to, you know, hear, you know, you hear so many messages, but to hear that Basic Gospel, which is a great name, you know, it's food for the soul, and I just want to thank you guys for that. And also I want to encourage any of the listeners to give, because I know sometimes it's, I think the reason why God asks us to give is because it's easy to not give, is, you know, to keep everything for yourself. But you know, I want to encourage all the listeners, if you got anything out of the message that these guys give, you know, just to, you know, set aside you know, something like, you know, $20-$30 or whatever, you know, $300, whatever your wallet can handle, but just set aside something in monthly where they can, you know, expand the radio ministry and do whatever they have to do to keep the message going. And just want to thank you guys. And my pastor always says that God only not only gives back to you, but the government does too, in the form of write-off at the end of the year. So, you know, just wanted to encourage all the listeners. I know it's, you know, sometimes it's easy to just listen and not give, but I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, just call the people at the radio station. Are nice, you know, the people that at Basic Gospel are nice, and they take your information. You ain't even got to, you know, call back every month. They'll, you know, do it monthly, and it's real nice and simple. And they give you a little letter at the end of the month, and it's very, very good to hear you guys on the air. Though I just want to encourage everybody to keep it going.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Antoine.
Thank
boy,
you.
What kind words, yeah, and humbling words. And you know, Andrew and Richard and Bob, as part of not being under the law as children of God, is that we're now free to give generously. Without obligation, and boy, we really receive a lot internally, just the joy of giving when we're out from under the law. And Antoine was just talking about that, and that was just a powerful, powerful thing. And Antoine, we certainly appreciate it. But this new life that we have in Christ, this freedom that we have in Christ because of what he's accomplished for us, is just absolutely amazing. It's astounding, actually, when you think about it, and then actually step into it and start to live it.
Yeah. Yeah, every church that I know of, and there aren't that many, but every church that I know of that has quit pounding their people for money has ended up with higher offerings because it's free will, it's spirit-led. Nothing else needs to be said.
Yeah. Andrew, I know you've experienced that out in Lubbock, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm a pastor out here in West Texas, and our church is Church Without Religion, and we're very straightforward about the fact that tithing a specific amount was really to fund the Jewish priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And so the New Testament way, well, the grace giving is the very same as grace living. It's not one doctrine for living and then another doctrine for giving. From start to finish, we really can live and give from a heart motivation, cheerfully, not under any pressure. And when Antoine calls in and shares what he shares, it's just encouraging to us, isn't it, guys? Because it just shows, I mean, he's evidence of this heartfelt grace giving.
Absolutely. Well, Antoine, thank you so much, and God bless you for calling today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you some more information, okay? You hang on.
Very good. Great to hear from Antoine. We'd love to hear from you, friends. We have plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines. Come on in, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Long Island, New York, and talk with Joseph, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Joseph.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind is I have a question about the law. Like, I know that we as Christians are not under law. And, you know, the Lord doesn't look at us, and he says that he doesn't remember our sins anymore. You know, he sees us as righteous. My question is that as a parent, you know, when you're bringing up a child, especially a young child, doesn't still needs guidance in confirmation of what's right and wrong. Like, how do you deal with that? You know, with the child not looking at you like you're under law, so to speak. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Joseph, I don't think we want to look to the law as the means of teaching our children, because we got to remember that it's an all or nothing option. We're not allowed to go through with a multiple choice approach when it comes to the law. So the law is, it says, cursed is everyone who doesn't obey everything written in the law. And so really there are 613 regulations in the law. So in raising my child, I don't want to go back to the law from the Old Testament as the means of teaching what is right and wrong, because ultimately that would teach my son that, well, eating a pork sloppy Joe sandwich is sin, and eating shellfish is sin, and then you can see where it goes from there. No Friday night emails, son, and you can't do any Saturday yard work, which would be a bummer for me, right? I want him to get out there and help. But you see my point that we are, you know, especially among Gentile believers, early on in Romans, Joseph, we're told that the Gentiles do not have the law. And so it's the conscience that condemns us. The Jews have the law, the Gentiles have the conscience. So when I'm raising a child, I want to teach them about the love of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. And you talk about what's right and wrong or morality and ethics. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus has morality and ethics in spades. I mean, he has the market cornered on true morality and ethics. So as I lead my children toward Jesus Christ, I'm leading them toward a lifestyle that is certainly filled with godly living and upright living. But the law would actually have the opposite effect. And that's what I need to remember, that Romans 7 says, apart from law, sin is dead. Well, I want sin to be dead in the lives of my children. So I'm going to teach them about a life that happens apart from the law. And that would be total dependence on Jesus.
I agree with what you're saying 100%. But what I like, do you believe in disciplining your child if they disobey you?
Yes, but it would have nothing. See, my discipline of my child would be like the discipline of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that, you know, it says, don't exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the nurture and the admonition, the training of the Lord. So what that tells me is that the Lord's kind of training does not exasperate us. And so I hear the heart of your question.
Right.
The heart of your question is, you know, how do I discipline without the law? And what I'm saying is that the law is certainly not what you want to use to discipline your child, but you can discipline them in the same way the Lord disciplines us, through love, encouragement, counsel. He does deal with our behavior when behavior issues come up, but he does it without guilt and condemnation. So there is a way to depend on the Lord and not exasperate our children.
Amen.
Does that help, Joseph?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. I think one of the aspects about parenting and about the law, when somebody's under the law, as it talks about in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, the law serves as a tutor. So it's basically making a statement about those who are under the law, that they're not responsible enough or not mature enough to handle freedom. So there's this law there that is to constrain and to help and that sort of thing. But there's a point in time where the law steps back, and for the believer, that's when we come to Christ. The law steps aside and gives way to Jesus Christ. And in that transaction, in that crossover, so to speak, God is making a statement about us, because the Spirit of God is now alive, living in us. God the Father thinks we're mature enough to handle freedom. So we don't need a tutor anymore. We've passed that stage. And so God is saying, you're mature enough to handle this, and you're actually mature enough to be a part of the family business, not just to sit on the sideline and let me pat you on the head and that sort of thing and talk about a day when you can be involved in what I'm doing. That day is now. And I think you can handle being a minister of the new covenant, being a minister of reconciliation, of bearing my image out in that in this world today. And that is just a fascinating thing. And that's exactly what we want to communicate with our kids. We want to help them grow to maturity and then release them. Let them go so that they can be mature and grow as people. And I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. I think those parents that hover and clamp down when the kids make a mistake and they increase the numbers of rules and regulations, what they're saying to their kids, I think, is really devastating. And that's where that exasperation comes from. When a kid thinks that their parents still think of them as a little 2-year-old, that's a damaging thing to a kid.
Yeah, it is. I remember when grace finally started coming alive to me, one of the first realizations is that my job as a parent was not to raise an independent child, but to raise a child whose dependence moved from me to Jesus. That changed a lot of things.
Oh, it's huge. That's huge. Well, Joseph, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Still time on the clock, 1-800-677-9377. If you have something to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Again, toll free, 1-800-677-9377. Also, friends, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today, and you'll be receiving the links to the daily radio broadcast, the blog post, and other ministry updates. Again, that's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And again, the phone number that we have for you, 1-800-677-9377. We are reserving a spot for you right now, so we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, guys, a question from Frederick, who writes to us from Nassau in the Bahamas. And I think that Frederick's question embodies a bit of a misunderstanding, but his question is, what is the difference between the body of Jesus before the virgin birth, when he appeared in physical form in the Old Testament, compared to his body through the virgin birth?
Interesting question. Andrew, have at it.
Yeah, we're going to lay out, Andrew. Take care of that one.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a number of appearances people believe they might be Jesus Christ. For example, popular ideas that anytime the angel of the Lord appeared, it might have been Jesus. There's early appearances, for example, Melchizedek. People think that maybe he was an early appearance of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you wonder exactly what form of the Godhead, which person within the Godhead appeared at certain times. But I think what's, you know, beyond the mystery of the Old Testament and early appearances of Christ, you know, you really look at the New Testament and you say, what is so amazing is that he took on human flesh. And I don't think that he, there's any point in time before that where he had ever done that. I think that's the key difference, is that these Old Testament appearances, as far as we know, they don't even relate to the incarnation, or they don't compare to the incarnation of Christ appearing, you know, being born as a baby, a fragile baby who, if dropped, you know, would be hurting and crying on the floor, and then is later crucified, and it hurts, it really hurts, and the blood pours out and the tears come, and you know, even in the garden, anticipating it, the stress on the human body. And for God to do that through Jesus Christ, that is what is so unique about Christianity. It's one of the things that really sets Christianity apart, that a man would call himself God, and that Jesus was fully God and yet fully man at the same time. And so, you know, I don't know that we can wrap our minds around early appearances of God and exactly what forms he took. I mean, you look at the burning bush, the angel of the Lord appearing in a burning bush. It says the fire did not consume the bush. Well, there you've got, you know, the Godhead, I mean, God himself, who is appearing to us without consuming nature. He's showing us compatibility with the world, with the natural world. And Jesus did the same thing. He showed us God's compatibility with human flesh. And guys, I think the big takeaway from that is we're sitting here with humanity. We're sitting here with human flesh, and Christ comes to live in us, and he's compatible with us. And that is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's a wonderful way to couch that. That's an excellent answer, because one of the themes in the Bible is God wanting to find a dwelling place. Mm-hmm. And the creation, God inhabited his creation. You know, he was a part of it. He was in the garden. He was there with Adam and Eve. And that was a very natural thing for Adam and Eve to experience. And then they sinned, and that changed everything. Well, this whole salvation story, really a big part of that is God finding a new dwelling place, and that dwelling place is in the hearts of his people. And one day all of creation is going to join in with that, and it's going to be a marvelous thing. So
yeah, well, Frederick, hope you're listening there in the Bahamas, and I hope that's been a help to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Forest Knowles, California, and talk with June, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, June.
Hi, how are you all?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I had sent off an email this week because I was excited about having ordered stand, and it came, I think we ordered it Thursday, and it came in Monday. And long story short, the first thing that we had a chance to listen to actually was the roundtable discussion. And in that, I think it was Andrew mentioned about in a family situation, how worshiping your children or trying to find your answers through your mate, you know, for them to fulfill you is almost exactly what Jesus talks about when you're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. And that was just a beautiful comment. It just was very, very eye-opening as far as being even a grandparent or in a mate especially. But I thank you for that. And thank you again for your prayers for this year. And I just have a great testimony to share with you because my husband's disabled and has had to rely on really heavy pain medication for many, many years. And we've had a rough year, and on Palm Sunday, I could see that things were getting out of control with him, and it was kind of like an intervention, and we went through the conflict and that. Well, anyway, he, since Palm Sunday, has been able to get off two really strong drugs. One was OxyContin, the other one was Vicodin, and I'm so blessed because today it's all over the news that these two drugs are being doled out to people like candy, and they're leading to heroin addiction because they're opiates, and how they're going to start clamping down on the lead, the head of the FDA to watch how this stuff is doled out to people. But I think without Jesus, he did this with Jesus and with my help as well and family, but he didn't need rehab. He went through this whole thing after being on one of them, Vicodin, probably over 20 years, and this last year on the other that was given to him. But it's amazing. It's amazing that God is alive today, even for these issues, and it's front page news today about
yes,
that very
well,
thing. So,
well, June, that really is the good news, that Jesus Christ is alive. I mean, that's just not a Easter Sunday sermon message feel good thing. I mean, that's truth. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus is alive today, he can speak into our very lives where we are, meet us at our point of need. And as we learn to trust and abide in him, we can see his resurrected life really changing us from the inside out. And June, I sure appreciate the fact that you ordered Stand. I know that's going to be a great encouragement to you and your husband and anyone else that you include in watching that. And also, thank you for your wonderful testimony today.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and I just have a quick question. I did email this off as well, and it's probably on its way, the answer. But my husband recorded The Perfect Stranger on DirecTV. It was on Blue. I forget the name of the Christian. But anyway, there's a series, and I thought it was very good. The only thing is that they have, it's an actual encounter sitting with the Lord. And I was just wondering if you have, or if you would, you know anyone that would give an opinion on what those movies.
Andrew, that's David Gregory's work, isn't it? And
yes.
He's a good friend, really good friend of yours. And he's done some great work in his writing, hasn't he?
Yeah, if folks want to check out David Gregory, he is a Christian author who writes fiction. And through the fiction, you become acquainted with the idea that Jesus Christ is alive today and that we can have relationship with him. And so, of course, no novel is a perfect work. There's going to be symbols and pictures and shadows of what this relationship looks like. And it's surely an entertaining ride. I recommend David Gregory and his work. I think you've hit on a good one, and encourage you to look at it more deeply.
Well, thank
Wonderful.
You, June.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
We want to continue to point you toward Bob Christopher's excellent Poor Message series called When God Is For You. You know, we've been talking this month about our identity as God's kids, and this series homes in on the truth that God's for you and his love in you. When God Is For You, a Poor Message series by Bob Christopher. Get your copy, simply go to basicgospel.net. Again, that's our regular website, basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That number available, of course, during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. And learn to live in the confidence that God is for you. It's a wonderful series, everybody. Hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get your copy. Well, thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, for Richard Piper, and myself and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospels.